The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Good afternoon, Kansas City. Welcome to ESPN 1510 AM. My name is Chris Kamler, and folks, we are not done with the All-Star Game yet. We have our panel of experts. We are joined with Michael Engel, who is the editor of kingsofkaufman.com. Michael, good afternoon.
How's it going?
We have Troy Olson of KC Royalman fame. Troy, hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic. And we have Jeff Herr, who... I don't know. You own a computer, don't you, I suppose?
I think so.
All right. I'm mixing it up. We're not going to make fun of Troy all the time. Maybe just every other show.
Yeah. It's on loan, actually. So
I understand. And Jeff Logan of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society is on assignment somewhere fishing at a lake. So we wish him luck. He had a busy, busy weekend with Fan Fest and the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. And what an outstanding weekend it was, guys. In studio, we are joined by Kurt Nelson. Now, folks, if you don't know who Kurt Nelson is, then my goodness, you have been living under a rock. Kurt Nelson is, of course, the proprietor and director of the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame, and we are simply just honored to be in his presence this afternoon, sir. Welcome to the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks. Thank you. And we heard a little story about you over the weekend. We're going to tell here in a few minutes, but in general... pretty busy weekend out there, or is it just maybe just one of the one of those late September weekends with maybe 4,000 fans and nothing?
There were a few things that happened at the ballpark this week.
A couple of things.
I kept saying it's been for some people it's been a 2-year process. A lot of other people it's been a year and a half, and certainly for almost everybody it's a year long process. But you sort of invite the world to your house, and then everybody actually shows up.
Yeah, we threw one heck of a party, and that goes from everybody at Kauffman, that goes from everybody with the city, that goes for all of the fans who made themselves the story, quite frankly. And just to set up kind of the show, we're going to have we crammed about 10 pounds of garbage into a 5-pound garbage bag today, because we have got not only Mr. Nelson is joining us, but we also have the voice of Kauffman Stadium, Mike McCartney, who will be joining us later. Hall of Famer to be, Royals Hall of Famer to be. He's already a Hall of Famer in a couple of halls, George Toma. And we are also expecting Mayor Sly James of the city of Kansas City to be on the line at some point in time, soon as the city council meeting. That's actually
our city,
the mayor. When we talk about the mayor, no, we're the mayor, Sly James, who basically just threw a party for a couple hundred thousand people. So, it's just nothing like that. That's pretty cool.
No big deal.
And what a party they threw, folks. Just kind of to recap, it started on Friday with Fan Fest. Fan Fest ran Friday and Saturday, and then you had the Futures game and the Celebrity Softball game on Sunday. You had the Home Run Derby on Monday, and then you had the sort of anticlimactic All-Star game on Tuesday. I could only afford tickets to one event, and I'm pretty excited that I got the tickets to the Home Run Derby. That was pretty cool. So, guys, just kind of round the horn real quickly before we move on to other things. What were your top couple of things that you'll remember about All-Star Week 2012?
Robinson Cano comes up.
Yeah,
bottom of the first inning in the All-Star game. 40,000 people stand up and chant Billy Butler. This is strange because it's a city that has been kind of reluctant to take on Billy Butler. Always a base clogger, doesn't hit for enough power, and they took him in.
And here's what that sounded like.
It was like something out of a soccer game.
It was hooliganism. I don't know who that guy laughing in the background.
Oh, my God.
And then he, listen as he flies out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
It was pretty incredible. That's video that I took.
Is this Monday or Tuesday?
This is Monday night. This is the home run derby. Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, thank you, Shane. That was great. That was video that I took, and I've just never been in an environment like that. I've never seen anything. I've never experienced it. There was an energy through that crowd, and you know, all the talk shows up and down, national, local, they've all talked about it. But from my own perspective, it was simply of I've been going out and I've read a lot of articles about you, Kurt. You've been going out to the stadium since you were a little kid. I've been going out to the stadium. So it was the greatest night I've ever spent at the Truman Sports Complex. That's for sure.
You know, the whole Robinson Cano thing, I think, was misinterpreted a lot around the country as what it actually was.
Absolutely.
And there's two parts of it that I think most people don't understand. One was a very simple one, is the fact that Robinson Cano had said, whether he really meant it or not, but he did say that if a Royal, especially a Royal that would sort of qualify under, you know,
right,
be a legitimate home run derby contestant, that he would pick them because he said it was the right thing to do and it's the home ballpark, and he said it would energize the event, which I think it would. And when he decided that he didn't want to do that, it energized the event in a completely different way. But the booing at the ballpark, I think, was also misinterpreted as something against Robinson Cano. I think in great measure, because I truly believe that Kansas City is a baseball town through and through, it was just a showing of passion that people of Kansas City feel for the Royals and for Billy Butler in general, and it was more a show of passion for that than it was anything against Robinson Cano, really.
Well, and you mentioned that Kansas City is a baseball town, and there is probably nobody else on this planet who could preach that any better than the mayor of Kansas City. We're pleased and proud and privileged to be joined by Mayor Sly James. Mayor Sly James is on the line at the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Mayor, you have a pretty good weekend, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing super. We're still basking in the afterglow of the All-Star Week and all of the festivities, but most of all, just the pride that everybody has in how Kansas City was able to show itself off.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was very excited to get the opportunity to speak with you, because not only did the city put on one of the, this is according to MLB, one of the best All-Star games ever, but the city is just getting all these accolades, and you were at the head of that, sir. You and the Fanatics program and the Visit KC Twitter address and the trolleys and everything. About how long did you start planning for this All-Star game?
A year ago. A bunch of us went to Phoenix, and you might remember that when we went to Phoenix, people questioned, why did you do that? How much did it cost? Frankly, I even had a glass of scotch that I paid for out of my pocket that seemed to cause some sort of a stir. But we went to Phoenix to see what they did there, how they did it, and we learned a lot. We learned a lot, and we learned what we thought we could do better, and some of the things that they were doing well, we incorporated.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just kind of walking around, and it started about Thursday. I work downtown at City Market, and I usually walk up to Power and Light at lunch. And about Thursday, all the orange traffic cones disappeared. All of the potholes overnight seemed filled, and the city just seemed extremely clean. And that's a gigantic credit to you and your staff and all of the facilities workers and all the folks that all the trolley operators that were all friendly and greeted everybody at the bus stations. What was your giant takeaway of this weekend? What are some of the memories that will live with you?
First and foremost, the thing that I believe most and believe is most important is that I believe we now have a much larger group of people in this city who understand that when we work together, when we actually set our mind to do something and work together, that we can do anything that we want, that we do not have limitations. It's not going to get botched up. Given a chance, we can succeed. Some of the things that I really, really appreciated, I spent some time at the Social Media Command Center, and I was absolutely fascinated, to be honest with you, about what they were doing. I felt like I was in the control room for a NASA launch. They had 74-inch, two big 64-inch screens mounted on the wall with messages just kind of flying out at you. They had like 20 or 30 people sitting at computer screens responding to text messages, Twitter messages, Facebook messages, answering the phones, answering questions, making reservations for people, telling them how to get a flat tire fixed and wherever they were, all sorts of stuff. It was absolutely fascinating. They processed over 72,000 social media messages between Saturday and Tuesday. 72,000. And that's not even counting Thursday and Friday. They were working 20, 21 hours. I really thought that the ideas of the watch parties was absolutely fabulous. Major League Baseball hadn't allowed that to happen before. We had 5 watch parties that we were able to have throughout the city. And the reason that's important is, you know, we make an investment of taxpayer dollars in order to pull some of these things off. About $1.8 million is what we spent. Most people in the city aren't going to be able to afford tickets for the ball game, and even if they could, there's only 40,000 or so you can get in. So what do the other folks get out of it? Why not set up some watch parties? Let them go act like they're in a mini stadium, watch it on the big screen, take their coolers in, have a soda pop or a beverage and a hot dog or whatever you want to bring, and sit out there and have a blast with your friends and neighbors. And we had 300, 400, 500 at various spots watching the game. Fantastic thing. I don't know if you saw it or not, but did you see the video mapping against the municipal auditorium that was done by the folks who did the same video stuff for the Kauffman Performing Arts Center? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. The whole light show was just incredible, and I did see that. That was really neat.
Well, do you know that Major League Baseball wasn't all that jiggy about doing it until our guy here at the office, Jay Hodges, for a staff person in my office who I will constantly give accolades to for the fantastic job he did organizing and working with Major League Baseball, the Royals, and the city offices. But they wanted it toned down. They hadn't seen it, but they wanted us to use their images only and not some of the stuff. So we basically said, okay, fine, well, we just won't do it. And they said, well, maybe we can work something out. So then they put it up, they tested it. When they saw it, they said, okay, we're going to pay for some more runs of it, not just what you guys have. Nice. We're going to toss some more money at it. This city was excellent, outstanding in what we did.
You guys just absolutely just covered everything. And, you know, I know there were a couple of, when we were down at Power and Light on Sunday, there was a little tiny bomb scare. At one point in time, there was a rumor that the president might be showing up to the All-Star game. You know, what kind of zigs and zags were presented that weekend, and how did you guys overcome those?
Well, you know, it was funny. It was actually Vice President Biden who came in on Monday afternoon to do a fundraiser up north of the river, and then apparently hung around town for a few hours. Well, that was a little bit distressing because they never tell you about these things until relatively last minute. And so that caused some shuffling of some police resources, some road closures, that type of thing. When the vice president or the president's in town, that's what they get, and that's what they deserve. So we did what we needed to do. It went on without a hitch. But, you know, there were little things that came up that we simply made the adjustments to. You know, the plan had been in place. The police, fire, EMTs, ambulance, emergency center, all had been through drills several times to make sure that we knew what was going on. Homeland Security was involved, FBI was involved, all of the drills had been done. So when there was a wrinkle here or a wrinkle there, the adjustments were made and we moved on. Nothing bad. But the other thing too, and I should have said this, there is nothing like standing around in various places in Kansas City and having people from other places come up to you and tell you how neat they think our city is. I mean, it's really, really fantastic.
I had that same experience in line at Bryant's. I went down there Sunday.
You were probably there a while.
Yeah, absolutely. It was out the door. Have the bean counters told you what kind of impact this has to the town or how many people actually visited last weekend?
Well, we know that we had a minimum of 150,000, but we're not sure exactly how much more than that. We know that the hotels were full. I have not gotten any of the finances back from anybody yet. It's really a matter that's going to take a bit because what you're really looking for is a change in your tax flow. And the taxes come in as they come in. But when you're looking for a change in tax flow, you know, you can pretty much estimate that in a normal month, based on what happened in the previous months, that tax levels are going to be about so-and-so. You're looking for that blip that says a lot of activity over here. But one thing that we know the restaurants were hopping. I mean, there was a line at Bryant's, right?
Yeah, absolutely, there was.
All right, we know that people were having trouble getting reservations at places, so our social media command center, very smartly, had contacted people at restaurants in advance and had reserved places at specific time slots that could be used by them if nobody was coming through, but all they had to do was say, social media, me to come here, and they get right in and have a reservation. And those were being used. There were people... Fan Fest was great. 40,000 at the stadium for every event. You know, we know that the money's there, but it's just too early to see how much.
We're finishing up a conversation with Mayor Sly James, the mayor of Kansas City, and we can't thank him enough for taking a couple of minutes out of his day. A couple more questions, Mayor.
Sure.
Since this came off without a hitch, presumably, what can you do about the Royals' pitching staff?
You know, I'm a mayor, not an angel, a saint, or a wizard, or a doctor, even for that matter. I can do the same thing that you can, which is pray. bottom line. You know, there's been a situation of bad luck with Danny Duffy going down and with Polino going down. Those are bad things. But, you know, even with them up here, there was serious concern about the depth and quality of the starting pitching. And, you know, I don't know how to address it. I want to be respectful to the glasses because it's often easy for those of us who are outside a system to criticize what's going on in a system that we're really not familiar with, don't know the intricacies and subtleties of. But the one thing that we do know is that they have to go back to the drawing board and reevaluate the pitching that's in the minor league system is not apparently quite what they had hoped it would be at this time with Montgomery going back down to AA. So, you know, what are your options? You either trade, free agency, or bring somebody up. So they're not totally ready to bring Odorizzi up. So they don't have a whole lot to trade with, perhaps the exception of Francoeur. And free agency isn't very viable in reality for this club. So it looks like we're going to be waiting until next year for pitching to show up.
I don't know. There was a guy that was driving one of the trolleys that seemed to have it all figured out. We need to hunt him down and maybe maybe get his opinion on it. He was spouting it all the way from the City Market up to 13th and Wyandotte. But
he was just driving. He really wasn't driving the trolley. The real driver called in sick, and he had to get to the stadium where he was the GM.
There you go. Hey, you guys and the city and the fans, we accomplished an awful lot this last weekend, and I'm certainly not a political type. I don't follow it all that closely. I don't know if anybody's a good mayor or a bad mayor or a, in the middle mayor. But You know, we had such an amazing weekend here in Kansas City, one that, you know, I fell back in love with this town again. How do we keep that going? You know, how, what do we do now? We've got to be able to build on this, right?
Oh, you know what? That's the key thing, is keeping the momentum going, finding something that inspires us and makes us as happy as this. And I don't think that we're going to have a sporting event of this type and nature and character for quite some time. Unfortunately, we might have been looking at a different scenario if we had the roof, the rolling roof over the stadiums out there. You know, I think we would have been able to turn that into a Super Bowl. I think we would have been able to turn that into a Final Four. I think we'd be able to turn that into mega conventions when neither of those things were about, so that we could utilize the space. And I think we'd have more development out there as a direct result of that. But that didn't happen, so we don't have those options. I think that we need long-term goals. Should we be taking the stab at maybe the Pan American Games in 2000 whatever? What's there to be lost? Certainly something that maybe we can think about, and we're looking to probably 8-10 years before we'd even be able to get it, and starting the process of trying to go after it now or something like that. Can we find other things that are off the beaten path, like the fighting guys that, you know, that...
Oh, the UFC stuff or the...
Yeah, do something like a national UFC championship. They probably have some followers there. Should we be going after some more NCAA championships that we could fit and sprint? But on a basic political, civic level, with the facts that we now know that we can do things together as long as we work together, shouldn't we be working together on education? Education is absolutely vital to everything that we do in the city. We talk a lot about it. We just don't do much. We need to do something about it. We've got some things that are going to roll out. We've got a big city summit that we're going to be looking at in the winter. We've got a vote coming up on some issues in August. We've got several things that we're going to be rolling out and talking about. But if people are looking for that adrenaline-laced high of all-star excitement and people flocking all over, we're going to have to lower our expectations a little, but we can still hold on to the feelings of success and pride.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mayor, you put on one hell of a party last week, and we can't thank you enough for that, and also for taking a couple of minutes after the city council meeting to meet with us today. And let's keep it going, man. Let's do it and stay frosty, okay, sir?
You got it, my friend, and we're always going to be frosty, and we're always going to work hard to make sure that we're getting things done to make Kansas City best. And we just want people to have faith, work with us, and believe in the city, because as long as we believe, we can accomplish.
All right, that's the Mayor Sly James from Kansas City, and this is the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll be right back just after these messages.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Blasted to center. Back goes Rasmus. Grand slam, Mike Moustakas.
The Vault.
It's hard to find quality work at reasonable prices for all your home repair needs. With Kermsey Construction, we can give you 100% satisfaction guaranteed. We are licensed and insured. With 30 years of experience, we give free estimates and are log home certified. Call Kermsey Construction at 816-419-4232. Serving Jackson County and all surrounding areas. 816-419-4232. If it has to do with your home, we can fix it.
T-Bones Baseball, celebrating 10 years of fun well done. Bring the whole family out for sizzling action this summer at Community America Ballpark, where parking is always free and tickets start at just $6.50. Kids eat free Monday. Great giveaways and 20-ounce beers on Tuesday. Dollar hot dogs and post-game catch on the field Wednesday. Dollar beer Thursday. Falcon skydivers on Friday. Post-game fireworks on Saturday. Pre-game player autographs and post-game kids run the bases on Sunday. Follow the T-Bones on Facebook for up-to-the-minute promotions promotions and game day events. Group tickets, party decks, and nightly suites available. Get your tickets at the box office. Any Community America branch. Call 913-328-5618 or purchase and print your tickets at tbonesbaseball.com.
The T-Bones return to Community America tomorrow night against the Wichita Wingnuts. Fireworks on Friday night. Plus, it's Christmas in July and the T-Bones 10th anniversary party on Saturday. T-Bones Baseball, that is fun. Well done. Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We don't have a whole lot of time to even just dilly-dally around because we've got all kinds of folks on.
We have 17 guests today.
I do want to tell you briefly about Jay Catering. They are specializing in all of your corporate and business needs. Please call Jeff. He's on a boat right now, but give him a call whenever at 913-961-0929. Jay Catering is a proud sponsor of the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Another proud Kansas Cityan on the line right now. We are privileged to be joined by the newest member of the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame and a big member of the Home Run Derby pregame show, and that is George Toma. Mr. Toma, welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
It's great to be on your show, and it always is.
Hey, you had a pretty cool thing happen to you right before the Home Run Derby. You want to kind of tell that story for us?
Well, actually, right before the Home Run Derby, Mike Swanson, the PR director for the Royals, came to me and says that I'm going to be the catcher before the game, and Reggie Jackson will be the pitcher. So
that's pretty good.
I was ready to go, and so I had my rake, and so I needed a glove. So my good friend Joe Mauer of the Minnesota Twins was there, so he took my rake and gave me his glove.
Yeah, that was such a cool moment, George. We were up in the upper deck watching it, and you went out there with your rake and gave your rake to Joe Mauer, MVP Joe Mauer, and then you caught the first pitch from Reggie Jackson. I mean, what was going through your mind when all of that happened?
Well, actually, I was going to try to catch it, but it was a little high, and this 83-year-old man just couldn't get it. So of all the 40,000 fans there, they booed me because I couldn't catch it. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Now, we've got a gentleman here in studio that you might be familiar with. His name's Kurt Nelson. He is the director of the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. Kurt, you want to tell us a little bit about a phone call you placed to George a little while ago?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was with Mike Swanson, who worked for George in his younger days out at the ballpark. But it was a tremendous honor, as it has been in the. I've got to make two of these phone calls since I became director of the Royals Hall of Fame. The first one to Kevin Apier, but this year got to make a phone call to George, and I don't think he was expecting it. He didn't really know about it because it came through the Veterans Committee vote. That is sort of a new vote, the first time we've ever gone through that. And George became the 25th member of the Royals Hall of Fame. So it was a thrilling phone call for me to be able to call him and give him that news.
Now, George, you get a phone call from, and Kurt Nelson's on the other end of the line. What does he say to you, and what was your reaction?
Well, actually, they says that I was voted into the Hall of Fame, and it just took me by surprise. And it was a thrill of a lifetime, you know, being here in Kansas City and starting out with the A's and the Royals, and never thought of even being in the Hall of Fame here. But it was a tremendous feeling, you know. Tears came to my eyes, and, you know, it was great. And I have to thank Kurt and Mike Swanson and the Veterans Committee, along with, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Kaufman and David and Dan Glass, you know, and all the Royals organization. It's an honor and privilege.
Now you spent your All-Star weekend. You were working. There were pictures of you out there raking the field, and you work a lot of the very high-profile events around the country. It must have been pretty special to you to come back to Kauffman Stadium and help make that stadium so beautiful for our All-Star game.
Well, actually, it was an honor and pleasure. And Trevor Vance, the head groundkeeper, I hired him in 1985, and today he is one. I say he's one of the top one, two, or three. There's hardly anybody in the major leagues that could shine Trevor's shoes today. Not only is Trevor a great groundkeeper, but he has assembled a great crew. And the crew is outstanding. And what great workers and great knowledge. Just watching them, you know, they were great. Some of them boys on Trevor's crew are maybe have 15, 20 years experience that they work for me. And, they didn't work for me. They worked with me. Nobody has ever worked for me. We all work together. And Trevor's not only a great leader or coach, but I can't say enough about Trevor. He did a tremendous job. What a job he did, organizing everything. And to me, it was an honor, a pleasure to be on that crew. That's a great crew. I don't think any crew in Major League Baseball right today is as good as Trevor's crew. I know that for a fact.
We're talking with Royals Hall of Famer and baseball groundskeeping Hall of Famer, George Thoma. George, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. This one comes from my wife. How did you get the crown mowed into the outfield?
Well, actually, Trevor had that all planned for months and months. If you noticed the last homestand, there was no pattern in the outfield. He was getting ready for that. And they did it with the lawnmower and brooms. And that's all it took was just a little roller, a lawnmower, and some brooms. And they had it down. I mean, it was tremendous. And so they're not only groundkeepers, but they're artists.
How long does something like that take to get settled in there?
Once they get it down, it takes probably maybe an hour a day to work it, maybe two. But they worked it about an hour a day, and it came better and better and better. And what a crew they have. And I just can't say enough about Trevor. You know, like I say again, he has the best. His crew that he organized is the best in baseball, and Trevor's one of the tops in baseball. And there's not many groundkeepers in the major leagues that could shine Trevor's shoes.
So now will they just mow that out over the course of the next week? Or will, when we go in on Friday, will we still see it, or will it be gone?
We'll be gone. It'll be gone as they mow it. The grass is growing. And not only this, but you have to take your hat off to Trevor with this 100-degree temperatures, you know. He kept that grass green, you know. I just can't say enough about Trevor and his crew. And not only was the grass good, but that infield dirt was tremendous. Pitching mound was great. Home plate was great. I believe Trevor has one of the best pitching mound mans in the game. In fact, I know he has the best pitching mound man in the game. He takes care of the pitching mound and the bullpens and what a man. He gets down on his hands and knees and works with his fingers, and what a job he does. But, again, you have to give Trevor all the help. I mean, I'll give Trevor all the credit because he put this crew together. Pardon me 1 minute.
We're talking with George Thoma on the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
He said, back.
Oh, no, that's
put
right.
This crew together, and it was great. But two, it has to go, you know, from the top down, from the Glass family right down to the ground crew. And I think everybody on television that saw this field and everybody here in Kansas City should be proud of Trevor and his ground crew and the Kansas City Royals for what a show they put in.
Oh, it was an amazing show. Kurt, what do we have planned for George, and when is his induction going to be, and can you let out any secrets as to how we're going to get him in there?
Well, we got John Martin, of course, the famed paints everything that we have in the Hall of Fame and has done work on for the Royals for years. He's already to work on your portrait there, George, so we'll get that done pretty soon. And the ceremony itself will take place on Friday night, August 31st, before our game against the Twins, which is fitting because George's still doing some work for the Twins during spring training, and where else would that be but down in Fort Myers, Florida, the original home of George's Kansas City Royals. So he's got a lot of friends on the Twins. Everybody with the Royals and in Kansas City loves him. So I think it's going to be a great night Friday, August 31st at the ballpark.
George, we can't thank you enough again for being on the show and being such a wonderful representative of Kansas City. And man, that place looked so good. And hats off to Trevor and his team and you. And again, thanks for being a good friend of the show. And good luck and Godspeed, sir.
Well, a sincere thanks to you, and I'd like to have a sincere thank you to Kurt and Mike Swanson and Trevor and the entire Kansas City Royals club. And may all your good fortunes be as numerous as blades of grass and then some.
That's George Thoma. This has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We're going to take a short break and be back with Mike McCartney right after this.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault will be right back after these messages.
Brand new Royal Stadium in Kansas City's Harry S. Truman Sports Complex is the attractive setting for this year's game. Hosting this all-star occasion are Mr. and Mrs. Ewing Kauffman. And with a stadium record crowd of almost 41,000 streaming in, everything certainly is up to date in Kansas City.
The Vault.
The Brad Westmar Show with your host, Brad Westmar.
We had a great time with your wife, Matt, and we were glad to have Stacey on.
No, it wasn't what I meant.
And co-host Jared Afkar plus Magic Matt.
I was trying to put together a little trip for us this summer, and I was asking her about going to a concert, and she's like, you know, I think I'd just rather go to see a Royals game.
Wow.
That's sick. That's mentally off the reservation.
All right, Jared.
It's radio like you've never heard before.
Very sad.
That's what I hear.
Download the latest episode of the Brad Westmar Show at bradwestmar.com.
Medical bills can really burn a hole in your pocket. I'm Ray Van Emmen, and I'm here for all of your senior healthcare needs. I'm a senior healthcare specialist, LLC, for Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities. Call Ray at 913-449-6508. Being a senior healthcare specialist, I'm a licensed insurance company in Kansas and Missouri with professional certifications. I can help you get through your retirement years. Call 913-449-6508 today. I work for you.
Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. This is Chris Kiemler. I'm joined with Jeff Herr, Michael Engel, Troy Olson, and also in studio, the director of the Royals Hall of Fame, Kurt Nelson. Want to tell you briefly about senior healthcare specialists. You heard their spot in the break. Man, Ray was at the booth on FanFest, and he was just working it. There was a crowd, a sea of people. I couldn't even get up to say hi to him. But he's the man for your senior healthcare needs, as well as getting through those retirement years. Call Ray Van Emmen, 913-449-6508. They specialize in Medicare, long-term care, life insurance, and annuities, and are Kansas and Missouri licensed insurance professionals. They are a great sponsor of the Vault, and they are senior healthcare specialists. Call Ray, 913-449-6508. Now, I was told by Kurt that I'm supposed to lead into the Mike McCartney interview by saying, and another man who may need senior life insurance is Mike McCartney, the voice of Kauffman Stadium and a great friend of our programs and podcasts. Mr. McCartney, good afternoon and welcome to the Baseball Vault.
Hey, Chris. I noticed Kurt said that when he's about 30 miles away from me. So
we can't thank you enough for being on the program. And I kind of just wanted to ask you, how'd your weekend go, buddy?
Wow. I mean, you talk about, first of all, it started for me on Thursday. Did an event at the ballpark for Bank of America. They had an on-field event, and which I was a part of. And then we had rehearsals on Friday and Saturday in the evening, and then our crew call on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. All 3 days is 8 a.m. So we were there from 8 a.m. until the end of that evening's events. And so by Tuesday, it was pretty much, you know, you've been there before. I know you have. And by Tuesday afternoon, it was just kind of like, wow, you know, your head starts to spin a little bit and things start to run together some. But, you know, it was one of those things where at one point you were like, I can't wait for Wednesday, but I hope this lasts forever, you know.
And I've gotten to know you just a little bit. You're not an 8 a.m. type of guy.
No. That's right. You got that right.
And you did everything that just about everything that came through the PA. I was a little miffed that Joe Buck did the intros of the All Stars, because I just wanted to hear you say.
I wanted to get a country breakfast for
a
Billy
country
Butler.
Breakfast. I knew you would have thrown it out there Monday. For us. So,
you know, and here's the deal on that. Years ago, as I remember, there was always the public address announcer that did that during the game. Well, you know, and like nowadays, I mean, with Fox, they put billions of dollars into their rights fees for these kind of events and this event. There's so much money involved with their network that they don't want to give up 12 minutes of their pregame show to some schlub announcer to go on their air, and they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know what they've got. So for a matter of consistency, and I get that, being an old broadcaster, I understand that. But on the other hand, yeah, it would have been nice to get a little airtime on the big network.
Well, and they piped you in a couple of times, I heard you, and they piped you in quite a bit on the Home Run Derby and certainly the Futures game. I mean, they do a really good job with all of those broadcasts, but yeah, I just wanted a little bit more Mike McCartney.
They do a very thorough job, and having been involved with the three entities that were the three networks that were there, MLB Network, ESPN, and Fox, I mean, they never come to Kansas City for games, and when they do for the occasional Saturday game of the week or whatever, they really don't have as much involvement with the in-stadium crew like they do in these games. So we had guys assigned to us that were in the booth with me and our director and our audio engineer, and they were kind of giving us cues and when to go. And so it was kind of, I'm getting told to go by my director and by the ESPN or the Fox director. So it was a little bit different and a little bit hectic, too.
Yeah, and I just think from top to bottom that I was only there on Monday, but the other guys, you guys were there Sunday and Tuesday as well. It just seemed to go off without a hitch. You guys you guys did the Buck O'Neill seats, which was so awesome. Mm-hmm. You honored George Toma. You honored Steve Palermo, for crying out loud, who's one of my heroes. It was just a great tribute to Kansas City and to Kansas Cityans, I know you're just one part of that entire machine, but you guys did such a good job, and so please relay that on.
Well, we will, and I appreciate that. And that's, our guys, our crew take such pride in the job they do for it, and particularly in this, they wanted to showcase, and they pulled it off. They did a good job. They're a good bunch.
And you were talking about how you had so many different voices talking to you and everything, but yet it really did feel, especially Sunday, yeah. The Futures game really kind of did feel like a good Royals game. Like, it wasn't packed in there, but it was full. It looked right. Good. The stadium looked good. And everything was pretty normal that day as far as the in-betweens went. And I guess I hadn't noticed it, but the Cardinal fans sitting behind me at one point go, "Why does he keep saying, 'Okay, Royals fans'?" And I didn't even think about it, but did anybody say anything to you about any of the terminology you had to use or anything like that?
Exactly. Well, it's one of those things where there's so a million things that are going on and you have to do. And when they hand me scripts to read during a Royals game or this game, a lot of the things we did were much the same that we do during a Royals game. We had to cut up local sponsors, obviously. So what they did is they go through the scripts and they go, "Okay, well, we got to take out the sponsor because they're not part of the field." But they would forget, and they'd forget to put Royals fans out. Well, I would go in there and read it, and after about the third or fourth time, I go over and say, "Hey, maybe I shouldn't be saying that." And even though there are mostly Royals fans here, they said, "Well, that's probably a good idea. Let's not. Let's cut it out." So, but yeah, they were right too, and we noticed that as well.
What did you guys, what type of meetings happened, and what was your guys' reaction to the Robinson Cano, Billy Butler situation? Everybody knew something was going to happen Monday night. Was anybody at Kauffman nervous about that, or are we just going to say, "Hey, roll with it, it's out of our hands"?
I don't think anybody was really in tune with the whole Robinson Cano thing. Obviously, they knew there were people that upset that, Billy wasn't selected for the Home Run Derby. But I don't think people knew, because they were so busy, that what was going on through Twitter, Facebook, et cetera, what was happening there, and are you going to boo him and everything like that. I didn't expect the boo. I knew there would be some. I didn't think it would be everybody. I mean, it was incredible how many people were on this guy. And I even watched a replay of the Home Run Derby on MLB Network and couldn't believe it. How loud it was, and it was, I guess in a way it was deserving for the fella, but after a while I think it was just like, especially I think on Tuesday night, I think it did kind of die down then, and deservedly it should have, and we moved on. But that nobody was really, there were so many other things going on. I think when it happened, it was like, oh, you hear that? And then we got to get to the next thing, you know, so.
Everything must have been flying by so fast. What will stay with you from that weekend? What were kind of any memories that you have that you look back and go, you know, that was really cool?
Well, I think the whole experience, I don't know about an individual thing. I think every event had it. I thought the interesting thing was in the home run derby was Trumbo's home run on top of the Hall of Fame. And then not only the home run, but running into the guy afterwards who had the home run ball as it landed on the roof. Now, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but imagine the only guy who has the key to the Royals Hall of Fame. He might, may or may not be in the room with you right now.
Well, there were some snipers up there, and we're gonna get that story told here in a couple of minutes. But you know, that was a bomb. That was just
an unbelievable bomb. Unbelievable bomb, and a couple of those were, and that was kind of fun. But you know, this, as far as the game itself, it was very difficult for me to sit back and watch anything, you know, and kick back and watch it, because there was always an element happening. But I think I think it was just the people, the whole event, that the number of people who are normally not there that are there. I think the networks that we're in and all these different things that were going on. And I mean, from when I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's 200-300 people working and working hard at that time, getting ready for this game. And so it kind of hit me. It's like, this is an incredible thing going on for really a game. You know what I'm saying? For just the game. And but there was a lot of preparation and a lot of things happening, and it was, the whole thing was a lot of fun.
You know, Mike, I think one of the really cool things about it that really showed, and I think this did surprise a lot of people nationally, and I think some of the Robinson Cano thing got into this as well. The passion, and I say this again, and I know we've had conversations about this in the past, Kansas City is a baseball town, and when you had a big event like this, which we haven't had in a long time, people wanted to show how much they love baseball in this town. And part of the Robinson Cano thing was that, but I think even more loudly, especially to Major League Baseball, was the number of people that were at every single one of the ballpark events. Yeah. The Futures game is not usually a completely packed event. The Celebrity game, the softball game, is certainly not a packed event. It was this time, and I really think that made an impression with Major League Baseball and some of the national people. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and it is incumbent upon us at the Royals to get a team out there that's going to win games, because that's what we want to do, and that's what everybody wants the Royals to do. But the passion is there, and it was illustrated in graphic form this week. The passion is there. People love baseball. People love the Royals, and it couldn't have been more visible this week. And we know it every single day. And this, you know, we're working really hard to get the team on the field to win. And there is no question about it. When that happens, and as we go through this process and build to that, the passion for baseball is here, and people will see it all over.
I think, Kurt, you're exactly right. This town loves this baseball. And it also, to take it just a little further from what you just said, they love this town. Folks here love it here. And part of what happened when I think in the home run derby with the Cheers was, not only do we love Philly, and people love Philly, not only do we love the Royals, but we love Kansas City too. Mm-hmm. You know, and that really showed, I think, all in all, in this whole thing. And somebody said something to me, and it made so much sense. He said, you know, when you're not used to doing these kind of events as a city, and I suppose in New York City, in the mayor's office, you know, they have a section of their office, hey, okay, you guys have to go work this deal, okay? In Mayor James' office, I imagine it's everybody. Everybody is working this thing, and we're doing it hard, and we really roll out the red carpet because we don't get an opportunity to do it all that often. So when we do it, we almost, I don't want to use the term overdo it, but we go to the top, and then if it slips a little bit, it's still great.
We're talking with Kurt Nelson and Mike McCartney, both of Kauffman Stadium lore. Shane, we're just going to roll through this last break, and we'll just keep talking to these guys, because we're golly, it's very rare that we have a chance to talk to such seasoned veterans of of Kauffman Stadium.
Chris, did you say seasoned?
seasoned veteran. Am I on the right radio show here?
I mean, young whippersnappers that clearly are new to the game. Kurt, I want to kind of turn to you and Mike. If you got a couple more minutes to just hang on with us, and feel free to chime in if you want to make fun of Kurt, and that's certainly allowed. Tell me a little bit about climbing up on the Hall of Fame and getting that baseball when you saw it. You kind of had to wait a little bit, didn't you?
I did have to wait a little bit. You know, I was actually in the control room about 5 feet behind Mike at the time, though he probably didn't know it. And I saw that go up there, but from the naked eye, I didn't see a television monitor. I could see that it had hit way up high on the fascia board there, but I couldn't tell that it had landed on the roof. I made my way out to the Hall of Fame, and people said, "Did you see the ball that landed on the roof?" And I said, "I thought I saw something that might have landed on the roof." They said, "Oh, yeah, it's up there." So it took a couple of innings. I knew it was probably safe because there were snipers up there, and I didn't think any fans were getting up there to get it. But being the king of the geeks, baseball geeks, I had to finally say, "I'm going to climb up there and see if that ball is up there." So I climbed up there. And there it was, and the great people at the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, who were tremendous throughout this entire event, I asked them, "Can I go get that ball?" And they said, "Well, maybe not right now, wouldn't be a good time." So I told them, "Well, just know that the second you guys are done, I'm coming up these stairs to get that ball." So that's pretty much what happened. I went up
and
there.
It didn't skip past, because I saw Greg Luzinski's home run that hit the top of that the old concession stand, and it just went out in the parking lot. But it bounced off.
There's a lower level of the Hall of Fame where the signage is, and it hit off of that and then hit on the higher level part of it that caromed, and it stayed up there, thank goodness, or it wouldn't be part of the Hall of Fame. But the great thing about having the Hall of Fame on site is I did show that baseball to Mike McCartney later on that night, but that morning I was able to put it on display. So by the time people started showing up for the ball at the ballpark for the All-Star game the next day, it was already on display. Wow. And it already had a card, and it was already becoming sort of a focal point, especially for the people that were there for the Hall of Fame, for the All-Star game, because we could tell people, be sure to check out the Trumbo ball that landed on the home run on the Hall of Fame roof last night. And people were sort of amazed that, oh my gosh, it's already there. And it's like, yes, it is. That's we like immediate history, and we love being able to tell stories inside the Royals Hall of Fame. And that was a great story, and we wanted to get it up immediately.
Well, it's such a tremendous building when you walk in and see that. But yeah, to have a piece, and that'll be there. That's in your permanent collection, right? That'll be there tomorrow night when during the White Sox series and all through perpetuity.
It will be. That's part of the Royals Hall of Fame collection now, and hopefully we'll be able to add a few more things from over the weekend. But that's the first item from the All-Star week that's made it into the Royals Hall of Fame, and hopefully there'll be more.
And to kind of echo your sentiments, I mean, I remember I was at the Futures game on Sunday, and I went with my dad, and he said, we're talking about the All-Star game, obviously, and about Bo Jackson when he won the MVP. And I was asking him, I was just like, you know, I was like four when Bo Jackson won the MVP. So I didn't really get to see him play all that much. I said, you know, was he as good as everyone says, or is it just kind of the legend kept growing? And he told me about the first home run that he hit in Kauffman. And he's like, "Hey, do you remember when the Hall of Fame grass, wasn't there, man, and everything? Yeah. It was the grass, and they used to have that truck and everything." He told me about some 475-foot home run or something that Bo Jackson hit.
And I was at that game.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about that, I was with my cousin, and hit the ball. The ball landed, of course, up to where I guess now where that Miller Lite bar would be. Mm-hmm. And the people that were there, really, you know, usually when the ball's hit, it's up in the air. People kind of stand up and they go, "There it goes." This ball was hit so hard and so far that nobody really stood up and did anything. They were so amazed. And then finally when it landed, everybody just kind of stood up and started clapping. Like, they just couldn't believe it. It was like this real delayed reaction to it, as I remember.
That's what I've always heard too, Mike. I was listening on the radio, I remember, at the time, which Fred White's call is classic on that, because he's the amazement in his own voice. He's like, you know, he's almost exactly that same way. He was sort of quiet for a second. It's like, did that land where I think it landed?
I told him the It's like, are you kidding me? So.
And I think that's going to be, you know, one of those enduring memories from the All-Star game. Like, because like, we're talking really about everything happening so fast. But, you know, that's going to be one of those. It seems kind of small, but, I mean, that's going to be so cool. You know, when I have kids and I take them out to Kauffman, which I will, I'm going to say, you know, I wasn't at the Home Run Derby, but I watched it on TV and I saw it happen. Be like, hey, Mark Trumbo, who's probably going to be retired by then, but he hit it on the top of that thing. And I talked to the guy who went up and grabbed it.
It was that one. And then the Prince Fielder's one, I think it was in the finals, that hit at the lower right-hand base of the scoreboard. Yeah. Of Crown Vision, up in the upper, where it starts to curve. That was, I think that one actually was the farthest one. It might have been Trumbo's, I'm not sure. They were screwing around with the projected distances and everything. That was really kind of confusing. But anyway, all I know is that those two were, I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
The Trumbo one, they said, was 428 feet. I have a hard time believing that's not farther than 428 feet. But it was certainly a shot. I think a lot of people will remember it because of where it landed, and they can sort of make a human reference to it. It's like, holy cow, on top of that building? And well, that's indeed it was.
And we'd be remiss to not mention, we all went out to FanFest, I know, and the display that you guys had out there was just awesome. Casey was out there. All the uniforms and that entire mural that took Kansas City baseball history from the 1800s all the way to today were just incredible.
I'm glad you guys like.
I missed that whole fan fest, and that was a disappointment to me. But that's the one thing I wish I could have done over the weekend was gone to the fan fest.
Well, you can't go to fan fest, Mike, because all the people would rush up to you and ask you for an autograph, and that would have gotten complicated.
You know, they did have George Toma led around by a guy for that reason. Real quick, because we only got a minute left, but another thing we need to tell Kirk a big thank you for is, you actually, people may not know this, you were one of the heads of the volunteers. Mm-hmm. That was a job that you got as part of this deal. And I was unfortunately had to back out of being a volunteer, but I was there at the first meeting, and you handled that so well. And you guys did such a good job with getting the volunteers in place, getting everybody jobs, and just having those people to help us put on this amazing event in this city. And you should be commended for that and for all the work you do at the Hall of Fame, of course. But that's a big part of it, and that was amazing.
You know, we had such tremendous response, and all the people that, you know, there were only 6,000 people signed up, and we only really ended up using about 2,000, which is about normal for the All-Star game. But the people, they were so excited to be able to be a part of it, and it was great to watch them at FanFest and other places. I know Chris was talking about that display. The one thing that I put in a lot of work on that and writing a lot of extra text, and people sometimes tell me your text is too long, but I wanted to tell the full story. And what was gratifying about it is to go into that Hometown Heroes display. There were people reading those text panels, and I couldn't be happier about it. Because
I could have spent 4 days there reading all that stuff.
Because Kansas City has roots in the game of baseball that rival any other city in the country, and I'm glad that people were taking that in to understand how significant a role Kansas City has played in baseball history. We have a tremendous baseball history, and it's great to be able to tell those stories all the way back to 1884.
Well, I went up and introduced myself to Kurt because I don't know if you guys understand that you have a minor TV celebrity on your hands right here.
Yeah, you were on Baseball IQ.
I was on Baseball IQ. It was fun.
You didn't win, though.
I didn't win.
To a White Sox guy.
I always say you don't want to ever lose, and there's no good way of losing. But I only lost by one run, so I'm always going to be able to say that if I would have got one more run, I was going to win the whole thing.
Is that where you can call Mike McCartney as a lifeline?
I couldn't call Mike McCartney
because that guy.
I told Kurt,
of all the teams you lost to, the White Sox.
Oh, it was awful, wasn't it? It was awful.
They'll have to get him back over this weekend.
You know the reason Mike McCartney wasn't at FanFest.
Why?
There's no smoking allowed in Barrow Hall.
Because I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh, boy.
We just might have to have these guys on another show in the future, and maybe both in studio so they could duke it out with each other. But this has been great, fellas. I mean, biggest takeaway in 10 seconds or less for you, Kurt?
You know, I don't usually speak on behalf of the entire organization, but I will in this particular case. Kansas City, we knew would turn out and treat this event and be thrilled to be part of it and show up in great numbers, and everybody did, and it was tremendous. And we know Kansas City is a great baseball town, and we certainly just proved it once again.
How about you, Mike?
I think the support of the entire city and just the events, how they went off, and how smoothly they went was tremendous.
Guys, thank you. On behalf of all of our sponsors, Kermsey Construction, Senior Healthcare Specialist, Mike McCartney, George Toma, Mayor Sly James, and Kurt Nelson, this has been the Royal Man Report. Go Royals.
KC Baseball Ball.
Whatever. This has been a good show.
What you trying to be yourself for?
There's only one place to hear Mike and Mike in the Morning. You're listening to ESPN 1510 KCTE, Independence, Kansas City.